Noel, welcome back into the studio for the second time this evening.
I am busy this evening.
Co-host of the program, really.
Busy.
How are you doing?
Beginning of the year, you know.
Well, it is the beginning of the year, and you are at it very, very, very aggressively. That that program in our first hour, of course, as we said, that had become or did become the subject of some contention because Peter Phillips of the Talla Scholars criticised the Sydney Diocese. Now, it's been news around the country today that Archbishop Peter Jensen is taking the Sydney Diocese out of the Lambeth Conference. This is going to be of interest to you also during the week, because you also, Noel is so busy, he also works at our sister station, our sister network, Radio National, and doubtless the Religion Report will be picking up some of this week.
Oh, look, I'm sure Stephen Crittenden will not be able to resist looking into this story. not he will. Well, it's a big story.
Yeah. So if you want to pick up the threads of this story, folks, you can get it by podcasting us, or you can also go to the Religion Report on Radio National Wednesday mornings at 8:30, where the next instalment will occur.
There'll be more.
Now, you've got something else for us. Last year, you went to Kenya, and now, of course, it's big trouble in Kenya.
We're getting terrible reports of deaths after the dispute over the election results about a month ago now. But you remember this time last year, or you might remember that, like this time last year, that I did that story from a little place called the Makina Clinic, which is a little tiny medical clinic in the Kibera slum. And outside Nairobi in Kenya, there's that sort of donut shape of sort of lean-to houses made out of corrugated, you know, metal sheets and windowless. And this little clinic has a dirt floor. It has very minimal medical supplies. It has they've just got an autoclave to, you know, sterilize things by heating them up. And I thought it would be a good idea to talk to Andrew Otieno. Andrew Otieno is the doctor who runs that clinic on the smell of an oily rag. And I knew that there'd been trouble in the Kibera, because in the Kibera there's a whole lot of political views. And the Kibera has the 40 tribes of Africa all settled in it. So if there's going to be trouble, it'll show up in the Kibera somewhere or other. And of course it has. So just a couple of hours ago, I got onto Andrew to find out how the situation is in the Kibera, and particularly how safe they are in their clinic. And I actually began by asking him, I knew they were getting casualties, and I asked Andrew what sorts of casualties they were seeing in this little clinic.
The majority of casualties that we've seen so far, we've seen over 200 people, victims, and most of them are coming to the clinic here with bullet shots, bullet wounds, some machetes. The bullet shots are from police officers, the GSU personnel, and also some are from these Mungiki people. Mungiki is an outlawed sect.
When you say GSU and you say Mungiki, now the Mungiki were part of the resistance movement before Kenya was independent. That's part of their history, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're very right, yeah. Because Mungiki is an outlawed sect, yeah. And majority are found in Mathare.
Mathare is the other slum. The Kibera is the major slum.
It's a slum, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kibera here, all 42 tribes of Kenya are found in Kibera here.
This is part of the reason why there is trouble in the Kibera, because those tribes, they're all represented within the slum area. Kikuyu, Luya, Luo, Kalenjin, Kamba, the whole lot. We're hearing trouble within that slum because the tribal groups are close together.
Yeah, what is happening, yeah? Immediately after post-election, what really happened by the time it was announced that Kibaki was the winner of the election, was the winner, and he was sworn in, it was around 7 p.m. So every place was just like a ghost town. Even there was no power. So everybody was just running up and down. Maybe what some people are saying is not between Kikuyu and Luos. We are seeing Kikuyus and Luos, they have been living in Kibera here in harmony. Even most of them voted in Kibera. So this problem was just between our leaders, maybe you can say Raila and Kibaki.
We hear reports that a lot of people in the Kibera slum did vote for Odinga, for Raila Odinga. Is that true?
Yeah, because it is true. Kibera is a stronghold of Raila Odinga. So people came out in big number. They were voting for a change. They wanted somebody like Raila to come in and lead this country. So unfortunately, immediately when the results was announced, it was just the opposite, the other way. So they were saying, no, we voted for a change. So after that, they just found themselves protesting, looting, destroying things and everything because they were not happy with the results. Then too, the way the president was sworn in, it was not good. It was, I think, after 5 is not a government function. And he was sworn in at 7 p.m. So many people are saying, what is this? Because people are waiting for the Electoral Commission of Kenya to announce the results. Unfortunately, they refused to announce the results. Then the chairman just nicked in and went to the State House and presented the certificate to the Kibaki.
So you're saying a lot of people in the Kibera think there is something fishy going on with what happened in the election. They believe it's not a fair election.
Yeah.
You mentioned there had been people shot. What has been happening in the Kibera with security?
What is happening now in Kibera? Like in Kibera, we have 15 villages. And we have a village where Kikuyus are staying in those villages. And then we come to Katwekera or Kisumondogo. That's a stronghold of Luos. And you see, most of the Luos are supporters of Raila Odinga. Then you come to Makina also, where the clinic now is. In fact, the clinic was named after this Makina village because it's Makina village. That's why it's Makina Clinic. You'll find majority were staying in Makina here. There are Nubians, we have Luos, we have Kikuyus, and even Kambas and Kisis.
Mm-hmm.
So the areas where Kikuyus used to stay, they were the first areas to be attacked, and they were vandalized. Even their business, shops and everything were vandalized on the very, very day the results was announced.
Is it your belief, Andrew, is it really ethnic tension between Kikuyu and Nubian and Luo? Is it really what's at the basis of this, and this is being exploited by political forces? Or what? How do you understand what's going on in the Kibera?
Now the thing has gone beyond ethnic now. Because you'll find in Kibera, place like Kibera now, I can just give you an example of Kibera. It's one of the slums. Eh? In Kibera here, you see now, all 41 tribes now, they are ganging against Kikuyus and Kambas. And before that, they ganged against Kikuyu.
Are you saying that there are 41 tribes who are basically uniting against Kikuyus and Kambas, those two tribes?
Yeah, because in Kenya we have 42 tribes. Okay, 41 tribes ganged against Kikuyu immediately the results was announced. Then after that, immediately again, Kalonzo Musyoka was also one of the presidential candidates. He was in the race. He's the leader of ODM Kenya. Then he was appointed as a vice president by Kibaki. So the other people said, what is happening now in this community now? If this Kambas now, Kalonzo Musyoka now is a Kamba, now is now deserting us, is joining the PNU side. So also Kambas also has to come out. Like now, there is chaos in a village called Lainsaba. In Lainsaba, majority who are staying there are Kambas now and Kikuyus. So Kambas now have ganged with Kikuyus now. They are killing Luos, they are killing Luyas, and also they are killing some of the Nubians who are staying in Lainsaba village now.
We have reports that the casualties are nearly 1,000 now across Kenya since the trouble started.
Yes, you're right. Makina Clinic, we've received over 200 casualties, and also we've been facing a lot of problems. Maybe I can give you what happened on 30th. Immediately, it was Kibaki was announced the winner. After 20 minutes, we started receiving casualties.
After 20 minutes of the announcement?
Yeah, of the announcement. We started receiving casualties. They came in a big number. Then after 10 minutes or so, there was a blackout. There was no electricity. Then in that process, again, even our laboratory was looted. They looted microscope and centrifuge.
The clinic has been robbed as well. The centrifuge and microscopes were taken.
Yeah, the laboratory. By the time we were busy treating people in the clinic site, so they came in to assist us, and they forgot. They didn't close the door. So some crooks, we can just term them like crooks, they just went in, they sneaked in, and took a microscope and centrifuge.
And these were things that I think were very difficult to get for your clinic.
Yeah, something like a microscope is very expensive, yeah. It's over 120,000 Kenya shillings, and centrifuge is over 60,000 Kenya shillings. And without those, there's no laboratory. Even the clinic now cannot even function, because most of the cases, we normally refer them to laboratory, and the two are the main core machines in the laboratory.
Now, your clinic, last time we spoke, at the moment it's taking casualties from the injuries that are happening within that Kibera area, but you were also caring for AIDS orphans as well, right next door, because I was able to see them while I was there and met the women who were caring for those children. Is it safe currently?
The orphanage now, I can just tell me it is now pathetic, because the number we had before this post-election violence, there were 15 orphans in the home. Now we are housing 45 orphans in the three rooms, which is pathetic now. Even sleeping is a problem for the children. Most of them, their parents are displaced. Some are in the camps, like Jamhuri Showground, police stations.
We have heard that there's somewhere in the region of 300,000 people displaced across Kenya. So I imagine that within the Kibera there, you are seeing some of these displaced people arriving.
Yeah, in Kibera there are many. Maybe also like in our orphanage now, the majority of the orphans, their parents were displaced. Even they don't know where their parents are now. And also next, there's a next camp here. It's called Jamhuri Showground. It's just within Kibera. The displaced persons are coming from Kibera village, from Kibera, Mathare, Soweto, Kawangware, among other slums in Nairobi.
Now, I remember when you showed me last year these villages, and your Makina clinic sits not far from the former president's house, doesn't it?
Yeah. The distance is 1,000 meters, from the president's home, former president's home.
1,000 meters from the former president's home to the center of the slum, effectively, where your clinic operates.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, if people are hearing this story and they want to help, what can they do to help the Makina Clinic in its work?
What is happening currently, we are running out of stock. Things like dressing materials, drugs, fluids. Also, in our orphanage, we have a very, very big problem even getting foodstuff for these orphans. It's an issue now. It's a very, very big problem. And also, beside that, also, we have a program of home-based care. Home-based care, these are women living positively. Even now, getting access to ARVs is a problem.
By ARVs, you mean the antiretroviral drugs, which will stop the virus from progressing. And I remember when I last saw you a year ago, that it was very important for food, because the women and children need regular food, or the ARVs, the antiretrovirals, actually hurt them more than the virus.
Yeah.
So this is an issue about food supply, about drug supply, and trying to replace those things that were stolen from your clinic in the last, since the 30th.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, look, good luck with your work. We'll put up a link to Makina Clinic to let listeners who are interested to know how they could go about assisting. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
Okay, bye.